music, news, entertainment. It's all right here. It's the Kelly Alexander Show.
We kick off the show with Canadian talent Francesco Yates talking about the rise of his career and the influence of Sir Paul McCartney. Up next is UK singing sensation and Grammy Award-winning artist Jess Glynn, who's had great success with the group Clean Bandit and the release of her debut album, I Cry When I Laugh. We're also thrilled to welcome Swedish pop duo Iconopop talking about life on the road with One Direction. And finally, we get into the holiday spirit by closing out the show with some wonderful jazz music and your favorite Christmas classics.
And I just read an article.
I'll be open. Now you can get that on record. This, I cannot stand it.
But I thought you said
you think I'm joking. I can't stand it. Like, it's the most high maintenance, difficult hair. You know what they have to do?
No.
They have to get people to water it.
No.
On photo shoots and on set. Like it's a plant or something. I'm not kidding you. They water it. They have a little spray. I have those little, you know, Evian.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They spray it to make sure that the curl stays a certain way.
But it's like your thing, though.
It is my thing.
Yeah. But are you going to have...
I guess it's my thing. You know what I mean?
But so are you going to have like an epiphany where like... Or not epiphany, but like a change where like... You know how Bieber had the thing, like his coif for like a while, and then all of a sudden it was like... He cut his hair and then he's been able to do...
The thing with cutting your hair is that it's such a shock, I think, that because... The less hair you have, the less you can do with your hair.
True.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to do the reverse of what Justin did and probably just grow it longer.
But can you? Like, or is it just, would it just be like a curly mop though? Like,
no, but what it does is
it just keeps going.
I would part it and I'd do the Robert Plant look. That's what I'd do. Because you can't part it now. It's not down to the right length. It'll look stupid. But
you'd have like an 80s hairband thing.
Once it well, there you go.
It's true.
I'm already in an 80s hair metal fantasy in my mind. So,
Francesco, welcome to the Kelly Alexander Show.
Right on. Thank you.
So first of all, how's everything going? Because last time you and I spoke, you were, you know, busy, busy. It seems like you're still busy, busy.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite part of the job right now?
The fact that I can still do it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Nothing takes away from the music for me. I'm always creating. I'm always doing it. Like mm-hmm. right now, it's crazy because in my artist head, mm-hmm. this EP is released, and I'm already trying to figure out what I'm gonna do next.
That's great, though. So that means you're still hungry, obviously.
Always like to move forward and do it.
Now everyone talks about how you've worked with Pharrell, and I think the new single is Change the Channel. Is mm-hmm. that correct?
That is the Pharrell jam.
So how do you feel about that song? Because was it the first one you worked on it with him?
That was the very first song me and him ever did. Because he had this philosophy that, like, I wasn't a pop star by any means. Mm-hmm. The central focus was that I was, that he thought when I put on the guitar, there was a synergy going on there.
Okay.
And so it was very electric guitar based. We started talking about Led Zeppelin and all
wow.
sorts of stuff like that. They're my favorite rock and roll group, so... We blended R&B and rock and roll with that one, which okay. is ultimately, you know, my favorite type of styles.
Where do you find yourself on the spectrum, though? Like, we talked about you've got this rock part of you and obviously the R&B part. Like, where are you? Or do you not care? Like, you'll always be all over.
Well, this is the same thing, I think, and not in any way because I'm trying to say that I'm of the greatness level that he is. But this is the same dilemma you find yourself in when describing Prince.
Mm-hmm.
What really is he? Is he an R? Because he's an R&B balladeer. He does that really well. Mm-hmm. He's a straight up rock and roller. He does that very well.
Mm-hmm.
He does the bridge of the two really well. So I think that's just a case of me. It's just me doing music.
Mm-hmm.
I think though, if I had to describe the style, it usually is a synthesis of modern production
mm-hmm.
and like the older style of songwriting.
Now, we know you play guitar. I don't know if you play any other instruments, though. And do you have an inclination to want to play other instruments, like to help you along in your artistic career?
I actually started playing piano first.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
And I thought it was very good that I started to play piano first because I remember one of my music teachers told me if you learn that, you can pretty much learn all the other instruments. And what I found was that it's true.
Okay.
As soon as I learned piano, for some reason, the other instruments kind of, they were easier to play. I guess it warms up your fingers or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, piano, guitar, and bass I can fumble my way through because I play guitar, although I'm not as good as Alex St. Kitts, my bass player. He's a magician with that stuff. And the drums now.
Good for you.
The most recent one is the harmonica. I'm a big fan of the harmonica now because that's something you can't really teach someone how to play the harmonica.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a feel thing.
Okay. Now, when it comes to the songs, like, you know, on the station I work for, we play Better to Be Love. We playing The Mess out of Call, which I think is, like, that's my favorite song right now. Do you have a favorite? Like, because I know they're all your babies, but, like, do any of them stick out, like, that you would play for the rest of your life and never be upset to play it?
Because it's new and... because of just that there the certain colors in the song. There's a song called Something Different, which is the most the newest one, and it's one that I 100% wrote and produced myself.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just something about me being in the basement and producing it in that moment. That was a serious moment, and I don't know, there's just something about it. But then it's like Change the Channel is another one too that I could speak to that for, as well as Honey I'm Home. It's always weird to, you know, because when you see the public's favorite song and then the artist's favorite song, it's usually the totally opposite. So
true. I find a lot of artists like album tracks.
Yeah. So because what they like about it isn't the same as what the public likes about songs. The public likes songs that are pump up so you can jam to them, or something like that, or we are into some musical chord that no one really even knows exists in the track. Mm-hmm. So.
Now, what concert, because obviously the concerts are continuing all the time. I just actually went to the Janet Jackson concert in Toronto a couple days ago.
Oh, how was that?
She was amazing. I really hope you can go see her because she is fantastic. And I wanted to ask you, what concert, you know, has been your favorite in the last year? Because obviously you're playing with a lot of artists, but is there a concert like you specifically went out to see where you didn't have to work and just got to listen and enjoy?
Oh, there's a couple of them. I mean, it depends on what type of art, like of current artists that are out or just of in
whatever
general.
Whatever struck you that made you actually want to go pick up your guitar that night and like tinker around.
What do I think? I'm trying to think. Someone like a Bruce Springsteen.
Okay.
I saw Bruce Springsteen play and he played for 4 hours and didn't stop.
Wow.
But didn't stop between songs. It was straight up 4 hours of him playing all of his material. And I thought to myself, how do you do that? How do you not get tired? And I thought to myself, he does that every night.
Yeah. So and he's like whatever age, right?
And he's whatever age. Yeah. So there's a living legend there. Mm-hmm. So I thought to myself, how do we get to that?
Mm-hmm.
That one was another crazy one. Another crazy one was seeing Bruno Mars.
Okay.
Because Bruno Mars hit every note and didn't rely on much else.
Mm-hmm.
And the show is unbelievable too. Like the guy is dancing for 2 hours and singing straight. Something like Michael Jackson. He's dancing and singing. That's not an easy thing to do.
No.
And the band is incredible. That's all in all a good show as well.
Now, what do you, or where do you want to see yourself in like a year? Because like, it seems like, you know, things have been really progressing. You're always busy. I follow you on social media. You always have something up. And I know this summer you've been playing at a lot of dates with other Canadian artists. Like I've seen you with, was it like Sean Hook? And I think maybe Rhea May and all that sort of stuff. So it just seems like there's no stopping you.
Well, I hope to do it. It just keep going up the levels, and hopefully it reaches more people.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, is to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Because of all the things that one has to do when they start doing music, you start doing music in your basement or something that someone really likes, and then 1,000 people really like it, and then 10,000 people really like it. A lot of stuff comes into the picture, mm-hmm. and you can end up losing yourself in that. I just hope to continue to have a clear mind doing music, playing for as much people as possible, and just to be happy.
Have you found that, Francesco, that as you're sort of progressing, that like more noise is getting in the way a little bit? Like, is it hard for you to sort of push that out of the way and focus on what you need to do?
Well, I was fortunate enough to meet the guy of all guys, Paul McCartney.
Okay.
And he told me two things. One's pretty funny, and one is pretty deep. One is that, you gotta look around here, you know, you see it's beautiful, right? But it's just noise, man, you know? It's just music after all, man. Because I asked him, how did you do that in the days with the Beatles? Like, what really happened there?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, I can't tell you, man. We just kind of went up there and played a couple songs and that was it. So, which means that the reason why that was so, that their vibes were so infectious, that's what he was saying. They because they didn't think too much of it.
Right.
They went up and put themselves into it and had a good time. But he said there's two things. There's noise in the world and there's music. There's a lot of noise.
Mm-hmm.
There's outside, traffic, a lot of noise.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can hear the music throughout all that noise, you'll be good.
Fantastic.
Completely freaked me out.
That's pretty... That's pretty cool. You got to meet Paul McCartney, actually. That's really good.
It's crazy.
Last question. Actually, who would you love to collaborate with? I know, you know, you've already done the Pharrell thing, but like, is there someone right now that you're like, boom, I'd love to get on a song with, like The Weeknd or one of these dudes?
That color, the Weeknd's really good color palette. I like the production stuff, you know what I mean? Okay. I think we would have a good long talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, just to meet him, because of who he is, someone like Prince.
Yes. Have you been to a Prince concert? Because I actually went this summer.
I went to the Prince. There's another one I forgot to include in the other question. That was one, let me tell you.
Isn't it crazy?
It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. In my whole life. Because he came on, and I actually, our seats were further back, but okay. I was with my tour manager, and she actually was able to get us in front row.
Wow.
So he starts off with Let's Go Crazy and all of that, but then it pans into him. He did like a guitar solo for 45 minutes.
I know, right?
He does that. He just goes up and does whatever he wants. However, when he went back and did all the stuff like Raspberry Beret and that stuff, everyone was loving
yeah.
it and just...
yeah.
Just freaking out. But he's a strange guy. I think there was a point in the show where he was playing his guitar and he looked at me and he did me one of these.
Nice.
To which point I'm like, oh, okay, oh, there you go. What's all that about? But he is fantastic. He's one of my biggest musical influences.
That's amazing. And you ever notice, like, I felt when I went to that concert, because I'd never seen him before in concert, I felt like I was brought to church. Like, I felt like I was truly brought to, like, musical church with this guy.
Well, if you notice him, he's a bit of a strange cat. He doesn't like the phones.
Right.
So he made everyone kind of take away the phones. Mm-hmm. And there's also a thing about him where he's so smart. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He's a marketing genius. Like he played the most obscure set.
Yeah.
But then said at the end, you guys are going to remember this for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And it's like, sure. We are kind of going to remember this for the rest of our life. It's like, it's a strange set. You kind of soloed on the guitar for 45 minutes, then played Raspberry Beret, then went back to soloing for 45 minutes. So yeah, we kind of will do it. So he almost does these sneaky little things on purpose mm-hmm. because he knows that people will freak out because he's Prince.
Mm-hmm.
That type of smartness, though, I can appreciate the brains involved as well as the musicality.
Do you get tired of people telling you that you have an old soul? Because you totally do. And you're super chill, which I love. I love that you're like 20 years old and you're like super chill. And yeah, like it's amazing.
I'll tell you this. There was a point where I thought as though, you know what, I have to dumb down my music. Okay. I thought to myself, it was a bad thought. I had to dumb down my music because no one was going to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, you talk to people. I was talking to my buddy who's also, you know, in music. And he was like, no, man, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 40. It was 40 that who's part of Drake's camp.
Okay,
who produces a lot of that sound, that R&B stuff
mm-hmm.
and the hip-hop stuff. And he said, listen, I'm wearing the same t-shirt now as I made it as when I didn't make it. You know what I mean? Nice. You just have to stay the course.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for me, I just got to stay the course.
Awesome. Well, we love you and thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
Francesco Yates on The Kelly Alexander Show.
In the ceiling, yeah, ooh, baby, it's the ultimate feeling. You got me lifted, feeling so gifted. Sugar, how you get so fly? Sugar, how you get so fly? Ooh, sugar, how you get so fly? Ooh, sugar, sugar, how you get so fly? Ooh, sugar, how you get so fly? I'm in the loop and everyone's desire. She's out to get you.
something mystical, they call it lies, I say. So far from typical, but take my advice. Before you play with fire, do think twice. And if you get burned, well, baby, don't you be surprised. Lifted, drifting higher than the ceiling. Ooh, baby, it's the ultimate feeling. You got me lifted, feeling so gifted. Sugar, how you get so fly? So
The Kelly Alexander Show. Like us on Facebook, Kelly Alexander Show.
We're very happy to have on the Kelly Alexander Show the one and only Jess Glynn. Welcome to the show.
Hey, you're right.
So how are you feeling being in Canada? Is this your first time over across the pond?
Yeah.
Have you had poutine yet? Do you know what that is?
No, it's the cheesy stuff of chips.
Exactly. Yeah. You got to try that out.
I got told about it on my way here.
You have to have that before you leave.
No, I'll make sure I will.
I wanted to ask you, when you were a kid, did you know that being a musician was going to be in the cards? Like, is that where you were headed all the way?
I don't think I ever knew, like, it was going to be this, you know, this was going to be my career. No, obviously I was dreamt of it, but the fact that it is just amazing. Yeah.
Now, how did you guys actually hook up with Clean Bandit? Like, how did that come together? Because it obviously was like not one lightning bolt, but two with Rather Be and Real Love.
Yeah, well, Rather Be, they came to me and basically had the song and heard my voice and were like, we want to use your voice on this song. You sound amazing, blah, blah, blah. Rest is history. Got in the studio and that was that. And it was just the most amazing thing, you know. When I heard the demo, I mean, it sounded nothing like what it sounds like now. We played around with it. Obviously, I vocaled it. That was one experience. Real Love was different because I wrote that.
Okay.
Essentially, and it was good. And it was actually for me. And I actually didn't want to use it for my own material because I felt like it was... I didn't feel like it was me enough.
Okay.
And I'd written with these guys called The Six, and it just didn't feel 100%. And it was coming to the end of the year, and I was like, well, it would be really cool to kind of end the year how I began the year. And Clean Bandit were wanting to do some more work, and I was like, well, I've got this song, so why don't we play around with it? And so that's what we did, and they jumped on it and thought, all right, let's do a joint single. Why not?
That's fantastic. Now, did you know when you were recording both of them that it was gonna go kaboom? Like, did you have a feeling? Cause sometimes I wonder if you guys know.
With Rather Be, I mean, I had no idea. And then after that, I mean, everything was kind of mental. Like, my own song I released, first ever song I'd released right here. And then that went to the top 10 in the UK, and then Real Love came out, and then it was Hold My Hand, and it was just such an insane kind of process. But all along, I don't think I expected any of it, you know, but I guess you just hope for the best.
Now, what does it feel like when I say Jess Glynn, Grammy Award winner?
Mad. It's mad.
Were you at the ceremony when you guys won?
Yeah. Most amazing day.
That's crazy. And do you feel like now a certain pressure because you've already become a Grammy winner at such a young age?
I just want to win a Grammy for myself. You know, that's always a goal. Okay. Yeah, I want to have a Jess Glynn Grammy. That's the next goal.
That's the next goal. Now, you are doing so amazing and well across the pond where you're from in England.
Yeah.
How important is it for you to break big over in Canada and the US?
It's, you know, it's definitely a massive thing for me. Obviously, it's a dream. And I'll do everything I can to, you know, make my way over here. Because, you know, I feel like, especially over here, my music fits so well. And from the shows I've been doing, it's just proven that a lot. People relate, the sound fits, you know, it feels amazing. So I mean, hopefully it will work. you know, you can never predict these things.
I read an article, because you were in New York yesterday, I believe And one of the writers from a New York online site had mentioned that he'd been to your show, and that he was in the show, it was like a 90s dance party.
Yeah.
And when I listened to the album, like, that's what I would say. Like, I feel like you're influenced by, like these big, like, dance people like CeCe Peniston and Crystal Waters. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, I was so powerful. Power vocals when I grew up, and that kind of music was my thing.
Wow.
You know, and that's all I listened to, and that's why I imitated. That's just me all over. And so I guess when it came to making music, that's what was, you know, my biggest inspirations, vocally and melodically. So
how does your process work when you write a song? Like, do you write the lyrics first and then figure out the, like, how the
music changes every time?
Okay.
You know, sometimes I'll write lyrics, sometimes I'll sing a melody, sometimes I'll hear the music and it will all come together. I think it's just different every time, depending on where I am, what I'm doing, who I'm working with.
Do you have any explanation in your mind how come people like you and Ed Sheeran and James Bay and the rest of them from over there have blown up? Like, you guys are like the it factor, like UK artists coming over to the States and Canada.
I don't know. I guess, like, it's the music that people just love, I hope. You know, I don't know what it is. I guess when you make good songs and you people can relate to it, then it just works.
How has your life changed for you since everything's blown up? Like, has it changed on a daily basis? Like,
yeah, massively.
Okay.
I mean, I don't have much time in my life. I'm on the road a lot. And I guess, you know, I don't, my life is, you know, what I used to do before, hang out with my mates, go to the pub, do this kind of normal stuff, as in, like, everyday life. I guess I don't have that so much anymore. I don't see my friends and family half as much, you know. But yeah, I mean, I still live a normal life. I still am the same me, like, do the same things, act the same way.
What's the coolest, or who's the coolest celebrity that has, like, tweeted you or social media you and said, like, I love your music?
I don't know.
I'm sure there's a lot, though. I'm sure there's a lot of people.
I don't know if there is.
There has to be.
I don't know.
You have 5 number one singles on the UK charts. There is some artist that has sent you, you're a rock star.
Do you know what? I actually feel really bad. I don't actually know. I think there has.
Well,
I mean, loads of people, like, have been supportive and
okay.
stuff, but I can't think of, like, a massive celebrity that stands out. There's people that, I don't know.
Who have you been, like, super happy to meet? Because I'm sure you've, obviously, you're a Grammy Award winner. I'm sure you met a bunch of people.
It's mad because I, like, know, obviously, artists and stuff who've been so supportive, like Tiny, Sam Smith's been amazing. You know, Ed Sheeran, like, people are really supportive and have all, so, like, things like that. But there's not been anyone that's been like, oh my God. Right.
Well, I'm a minor celebrity here, so I'll tweet you and tell you that you're amazing.
Thanks.
About the album, how does it make you feel knowing, like, this is out? You've got your debut album.
It's
out.
Dream come true feeling, like, genuinely, like, the most amazing thing to sit here and have, like, an album that, you know, that's like what I used to go out and buy, and now I've got my own one out. It's just mad.
How cool is it to write your liner notes? Like, to be like, thanks to this one and that one. I know you thanked your parents quite a bit in the
Writing that was the hardest thing, actually, because it was like I only had the smallest amount of space to write it in. And there wasn't, you know, I don't feel like I got to give it enough as, like, of what I would like. But yeah, it's special. I think it's so important, you know. It's not just me that made that album, you know. I'm obviously the artist, but, you know, without all the people involved, it wouldn't be what it was.
I know it will be hard for me to ask you this question or for you to answer, but...
Don't ask it. You can ask what my favorite song is. No.
Yes. Well, actually, you know what? I'm going to ask you, which one will you not mind singing and performing for the rest of your life? Like, even if you're doing this at 65, like, you won't
get tired.
Do you know
what? I have to be honest with you. This album, for me, is like, I love it. I mean, there's not one song on there that I don't like.
Well, that's good.
And I like performing this album is the funnest thing. And yeah, I just, do you know what? I would never have an album with anything that I don't like on it.
Okay.
So
that's awesome.
I'm happy to sing every song for the rest of my life.
Before I let you go, I wanted to know if you could go out for dinner and, like, dancing with any artist and just like hang out and have a good time, who would that be and why?
Well, it would have probably been Whitney.
All right.
Yeah. That would have been a good one.
Yeah, it would have been a good one.
Yeah. Because I love her. She's got wicked tunes that make me feel great. And she seemed pretty nuts.
True.
There you go.
That's a good enough answer. Thank you for spending time with us.
No
All
worries.
The best.
Thank you.
Jess Glynn right here on The Kelly Alexander Show.
Hey, this is Jess Glynn and you're listening to The Kelly Alexander Show.
I came here with a broken heart that no one else could see. I drew a smile on my face, the paper over me.
But wounds heal when tears dry and cracks they don't show. So don't be so hard on yourself, no. Let's go back to simplicity. I feel like I've been missing me. Was not who I'm supposed to be. I felt this darkness over me. We all get there eventually. I never knew where I belong, but I was right and you were wrong. Been telling myself all along. Don't be so hard on yourself. Top of the world, right where I wanna be. So how can this dark cloud be raining over me? But hearts break and hell's a place that everyone knows. So don't be so hard on yourself, no. Let's go into simplicity. I feel like I've been missing me. Was not who I'm supposed to be. I felt this darkness over me. We all get there eventually. I never knew where I belong, but I was right.
To welcome one half of the Swedish hit duo Icona Pop. I know, welcome to the Kelly Alexander Show.
Oh, thank you.
So first of all, we love you profusely on the show. We actually interviewed your partner in crime the last time you were in town, and now we get to speak to you, so very excited.
Oh my. Yeah, we talked about that. You said 2013, right?
Yes. And actually, I believe when you guys were in town, I want to say last year, I also got to speak to her when she was at the hotel. So we're very happy to have you here.
Well, we are happy to talk to you again.
Excellent. So I wanted to ask you, what is the biggest thing that you have learned about the music industry since you hit sort of mainstream success back in 2012?
I mean, we've been a band for 8 years, so we've been through all kinds of different things. We've been through people that want to change us, but people that like have a vision of the music industry that we didn't even though it still existed. But the people we're working with now, they're simply amazing. But I guess something that we learned is like you have to surround yourself with people that you trust and not be scared of like not be stressed about things. And also about your health. You have to take care of yourself and you have to make sure to have some fun because otherwise you'll end up just staying in your hotel room and not living your life.
It's true. That's very true. Now, you've had an amazing run of success opening for, I think a lot of people would say, the biggest acts in the music industry right now, Miley Cyrus, Katy Perry, and now One Direction. What helpful piece of advice, whether it's something these acts said to you or you just sort of picked up watching, you know, did they give to you, these three artists? What have you learned the most from them?
First of all, it's been an honor for us to be on all of these tours, and we know that, like, these artists, they really decide who they want to have on tour. So, but I think just by seeing all of their shows, they're so different from each other. But, like, you get so inspired when, for example, Miley Cyrus, she was involved with every single piece of the show, from visuals to who was performing with her, like, everything. So I think, and we got to talk to one of her, what do you call it, like, visual directors, and she was just telling us a lot of stuff. And I think just the inspiration to see such a big artist being so down to earth has been very inspiring. And the same with the One Direction guys. They're like normal, super nice guys, always make sure that everything is fine. And yeah, just to be that people on that level can still be normal, that makes me happy.
Excellent. Now, I know you probably view the boys of One Direction as your little brothers, but if you had to pick, who's your hottie?
Ooh.
We all have a hottie from One Direction.
They're all hot. So I would have to say that if you blend them all together, that would be like a Superman.
That's true. That's awesome. I did want to ask you, how did you actually get the gig to open for One Direction, and how did you react when you got the news? Because these guys, you know, are performing to thousands and thousands and thousands of people, you know, like, you know, they're in town, you know, tonight with you, and they are opening to over, you know, I don't even know, over 25,000 people, I think.
Yeah. I mean, we were just about to release a new single, Emergency, and we have a lot of mutual friends, and we met Harry once before. So we just basically called our people up and contacted their people, and we were like, we really want to be on your tour. And they talked with the guys, and they were like, yeah, of course. So I know that, I mean, we know that this tour has been one of the most wanted tours of many artists, and we just feel so honored that they chose to take us on this tour. But I also think it's been such an amazing combo, because we do very different kind of music, and that really it felt like they were really open for a little more indie vibe on their, like, a warm-up act. So that, I think, there's music for everyone on this tour, which is awesome.
Now, you've been doing so much traveling in the last couple of years. I'm sure you guys are masters at packing and knowing what to do when you're on the road.
We're so horrible. No, that's like, I sit with anxiety the day before I leave from Sweden, and I know that I'm not coming back. And we usually go out and party and pack when we're drunk. That's how horrible we are.
That's amazing.
Oh, I know.
What one thing do you have to have with you, though, while you're on the road to maybe make you feel a little more at ease?
I always have my diary with me to, like, put down my thoughts. I think that's important for me. Sometimes I don't write at all, but always to have it with me.
That is smart. I love that.
Yeah.
When you are traveling around the world, again, we've talked about how you've been to so many different places. Have you fell in love with another city or a country where you could picture yourself moving to one day? Not that you want to leave Sweden, but if you did, where would you go?
I love Paris. I've had many romantic nights there, out on the streets, hanging with gorgeous French guys. Amsterdam, beautiful. There's so many cities I could actually move to. And I had to tell you that now this is the first time we actually experienced Montreal, and we've been having such an amazing time. So I want to take a turn. Maybe I'll be living here in a couple of years.
We would love for you to live here, and we would love to know if you've tried the poutine yet.
The what?
Have you tried poutine? It is French fries covered in, like, cheese curds and gravy. It is amazing.
Oh my God, no, I haven't. But I love cheese and I love French fries, so that could be an amazing combo.
Well, you have to get that after the show or before the show. Maybe not before the show, because it might be a bit heavy on you as you dance
after
around.
After the show, or we're going out tonight, so when we're going home.
You ask for poutine.
Poutine.
Yes. Now, you have to talk to us about the single Emergency. Everybody knows you guys for I Love It and obviously a bunch of your other songs. But Emergency, you know, you guys performed it on Good Morning America. I remember watching that performance. You guys killed it. What's the inspiration behind the song?
Well, we were in the studio a couple of months ago, and we were writing with one of our best friends, Eric Hassel. I don't know if you know him.
I've heard of him, yeah.
Yeah, he's a super cool guy, and I mean, we've known each other for ages. And the guy called Wallpaper as well. And we were just sitting and talking about, like, we were in a really good party mode. So we were like, we should write a fun, like a party song, but in a fun way. And we just started to joke about this party emergency and also, like, how me and Caroline always feel like when we go out, we always feel like we are the party. We don't have to be at the hottest club or anything, but we are the party, and people want to always be a part of our party. So we were just joking about this party emergency, and it took like an hour or 2 hours for us to write that song, and it was so natural. So basically the song is about partying, but in a little bit more fun way than singing about pumping champagne bottles.
Now, can we expect a full album soon? Because I know we want one.
We are actually recording still. Definitely next year, 100%, you will get a new album. We're actually going into the studio here in Montreal on Monday to wrap up some new songs. But yeah, next year.
Excellent. And so we can actually say that a taste of your album will come from Montreal recording sessions?
Oh, yeah.
Yay! That makes us so happy. That's awesome. I wanted to ask you as well, if you could actually go out to lunch or dinner with an artist that is like a pop star today and get their advice or just thoughts on dealing with stardom and all that sort of stuff, because you guys are going so well and so many people know who you are. But if you spoke to either a legend or somebody from today's pop landscape, who would it be and why?
I would want to go either. I think I would want to go out for a little drink with Ziggy Stardust.
Nice!
Yeah, I think, David Bowie would also work, but I would love to have his other side and just talk about his life and how he came up with everything, like all of his fashion stuff and the way I just love his music so much. So definitely David Bowie, a.k.a. Ziggy Stardust.
Now, before I let you go, what do your fans mean to you, and how important is social media for you to connect with your fans, which is growing and growing each day?
We have the best fans in the world. They're supporting us. I've never heard fans be so beautiful against an artist. Like, they mean the world to us. We wouldn't be here, first of all, if it wouldn't be for all the beautiful fans. And also, like, we are traveling all around the world, but we always make sure to, like, be on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Snapchat and just, like, communicate, because that's how we hang out with people. So, thank you, all of the fans, all of our icons. You mean everything. And we want to meet all of them. So awesome.
Well, we love you to bits, and I think that you and Caroline have such a great attitude and you bring forth such joy, and I think you take people away from their everyday problems and make them just have fun for a couple of hours, which I don't think you could ask for more. So thank you so much for being as awesome as you guys are.
Thank you. That was what a beautiful summary.
Well, I appreciate it very much. I know. Thank you for joining us on the Kelly Alexander Show.
Thank you for having us.
On my lips, ice on my wrist, 'cause I'm hot and I'm dancing. The Kelly Alexander Show. Follow us on Instagram, Kelly Alexander Show.
Lots of hustle and bustle going on as the holiday season continues to ramp up, so we thought we would end this week's show in a nice, relaxing way to hopefully give you a few moments to relax and enjoy the season. Here is Quartet Jazz with a medley of amazing Christmas songs. Enjoy.
It's the Kelly Alexander Show. Follow us on Instagram, Kelly Alexander Show.
A big thank you going out to my guests this week, Francesco Yates, Jess Glynn, and Icona Pop. Here is your inspirational quote of the week, this time coming from actor Christopher Reeve. A hero is an ordinary individual who finds the strength to persevere and endure in spite of overwhelming obstacles. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. We appreciate it so much. Make sure you check out our brand new website, KellyAlexanderShow.com, for all of our social media. And of course, our YouTube channel, youtube.com/KellyAlexanderShow. Have a great week. You and I'll chat soon.